You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So I want to add my voice to the many who have endorsed you to be our president. Just think of what a difference it would make right now if we had a president who not only listened to the science, put facts over fiction, but brought us together.
April the 29th, Hillary endorsing Biden officially. In a town hall type meeting last night, Hillary Clinton says, I'm going to stand here with Joe Biden. This was an online town hall meeting basically aimed at women, women's issues. One of the women's issues I thought was kind of like hashtag Me Too or make sure women are protected. That never came up in the conversation between Hillary and Joe Biden. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Gomer Pyle's back in play. Yeah, they were not going to discuss that. Never. And there she is standing, saying, I'm going to endorse Uncle Joe. Tara Reid, the woman who has the allegations against Biden currently, going back to 93, says, Hillary Clinton, you are an enabler. We have known that, but it's reaffirmed. We have known that since we look at Bill Clinton and Hillary back in those days and ever since. When Bill Clinton denied doing anything, then later had to tell you the interpretation of what sex was. And a lot of kids at that age, at that time, they learned, apparently, that oral sex was not real sex. And here's Hillary Clinton standing with Joe Biden. Of course, we don't know if Tara Reid is fact or fiction. We've got some things that tend to back her up. But more importantly, we do know that the Joe Biden campaign is pushing hard against any media that will try to claim that it might have some validation or should be investigated. And in fact, apparently giving talking points to the New York Times to make sure they follow the roadmap. We're going to get into this in more detail as we go through this next 2 hours. And also Ben Rhodes, former Obama Deputy National Security Advisor. Ben Rhodes says that Trump is minimizing the COVID-19 deaths. And Ben Rhodes flat out says, we have never had a flu season with as many deaths as we've seen already. Never, ever. Does a guy do his homework at all? I mean, to any extent? We've never had more than 50,000 die of flu in this nation in one season? Yes, we have. It's unfortunate, but we have. So where do we stand right now? Worldwide infections, 3.1 million. Death count across the world approaching 220,000. U.S. death count, of course, has now passed, infection rate, U.S. infection rate, crossing the 1 million barrier. If you had it tied to your cell phone or anything else you were doing yesterday, bang, 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 alert, alert, we've crossed the 1 million mark. We knew that was going to happen. They're going to make a big deal out of it. We were expecting more than a million. The approaching death count is nearing 60,000. I think it's about 1,500 or so below. But we do know this is a fact. The economy taking a hard hit, dropping 4.8% in the first 3 months because of COVID virus and all of our shutdowns. 4.8%. It should be frightening. And all, of course, involving everything from consumer spending to businesses staying on board, keeping folks employed. Pfizer is reporting out of Germany it might have a vaccine ready, I'm sorry, there are two different reports, one from Germany and one from Pfizer directly. And Pfizer is claiming it might have a vaccine ready by fall. We'll take a closer look at that a little bit later. And then, we've had questions raised previously about, can my pets get coronavirus? In North Carolina, a pug testing positive for coronavirus. It appears to be the first pet documented for having it. They were checking the homeowner and family and then decided to check the pet. And yes, dogs can be infected. Just one more thing for you to worry about. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We just lived through a month in which over 50,000 Americans died. That doesn't happen in the flu. That never happens in the flu. That doesn't happen in a year in a flu season, and nothing close to that, right? And so I think there's this kind of a moral bankruptcy that people can see, you know, in terms of the impact this is having as against what people are saying.
The words of Ben Rhodes, former Obama Deputy National Security Advisor, basically suggesting in an interview he did on MSNBC that Trump is playing a, quote, ghoulish number game to minimize the failure of his administration. And, of course, he gets support, and since he's appearing on one of the mainstream media's leftist organizations, he did not get challenged. Didn't get challenged at all. The host, Chris Hayes, just buying in fully. There's no pushback. There's no say. You just said that we've had more deaths from this than we've ever had a flu season. We've never had a flu season with more. What are they doing? They have a little button every time they should push when something's wrong. I mean, if Trump had said that, do you think they might do some investigating? If he said, we're doing better than any flu season. Well, that would be wrong, too. But no, they let it just fly. And the problem is, you know, and other listeners of this program, no, that's not right. And I like to think a lot of the American people don't rely on just one news source. But I know better. I know some are locked in only on one. You might be a Trump supporter. You're only going to watch Fox if you watch Fox at all or any news. And some of you go back and forth between that and CNN to see what they're doing, or MSNBC, or other sources, and same thing with publications. And I always encourage it. I always encourage folks, go to many sources, numerous sources, Of course, this program is the Bible. Obviously not. Obviously not. This program is mostly my opinion mixed up with stories, and I do kind of a fact-telling and storytelling, and sometimes just having fun. But if you relied only on this program, you were wrong. I'll admit that. You should be going to numerous sources to get all your details in your head that you make decisions. In fact, I caught myself yesterday, and I'll correct it right here. I was talking about a major hospital organization in the St. Louis area talking about laying off, furloughing health workers, and I think I said, I know what I meant to say, but what I did say was wrong. I meant to say 2,000 to 3,000. I wasn't sure the number, or just around 2,000, and I ended up saying 20,000. Wrong. They're not laying off 20,000. Now, the one local medical facility in this area, it's 1,800 to 2,000, something like that. But when I recognized it, I'll correct it for you. Of course, the problem is those who heard it only yesterday, they've been left with that impression. Hopefully they know better. But Ben Rhodes making a statement like that, this is so easy to get some preparation for and figure it out. I mean, if you're really interested, that is, if you're interested in the facts, when he says we've never had a flu season like that. All right, I've got here the CDC numbers. Going by the estimated influenza disease burden by seasons in the U.S. from 2010 through the 2018-19 influenza season. The season of 2010, we had 51,000. Somewhere between 32 and 51,000. Not obviously. Obviously, the problem is, can you confirm everything was the influenza? Or was there some underlying issue that added to it? Or did that push a heart attack? Or did it push some other issue? But their numbers say 32,000 to 51,000. 2011-2012 season, 11,000 to 23,000 was better, right? 2012 to 13 flu season, 37,000 to 57,000, above the number we had yesterday, although now we've approaching 60,000 for COVID-19. 2013 to 14, 33,000 to 50,000 again. 2014 to 15, 44,000 to 64,000. That number, 2014 to 2015, is the highest it could be at that point, approaching what we might see with COVID-19, and it might still be low. But that's not the biggest season in the past. 2015 to 2016, 17,000 to 35,000 deaths. Again, a drop-off, which is good. 2016 to 17 flu season, 29,000 to 61,000. Back in the high numbers. Then we had 2017 and 2018. There's a notation here that they're still maybe changing those data estimates because they're still working on trying to verify. It's not just enough for someone, they went in flu or whatever, it develops into something else, they die. What did they die of? The flu divided something else. What happened? But they were, at that time, 46,000 to 95,000, possibly 95,000 died during the 2017-18 flu season. They had forecast only 60,000 that flu season. 2018 to 19, somewhere between 26,000 and 57,000. And the most recent numbers that they have, 61,000. And that's just pure influenza. And, of course, the key is, with those kinds of numbers, with I named 4 or 5 years there where we had 50,000 plus, we didn't shut the economy down, and we didn't come to a grinding halt. We continued business. This we have considered to be, well, they're calling it a novel virus, so we didn't know what to do with it at all. It's not just like another strain of influenza. It's something entirely different. So that's why we've done this shutdown and taking additional orders and efforts to try to make you safe. And angering people at this point, because as it drags on and drags on and drags on, folks are saying, I got to get back to work. I cannot continue. In the beginning, you have many saying, yes, all for this. Now some are saying, I'm looking around. I see people right now driving down the street on the highway. The traffic's picking up. I see various businesses opening. How could they be considered essential? No one's shutting them down. They're doing this and they're doing that. Why can't I get back to work? My company's not calling me back because they're in fear. Or I've got a small business and they won't let me open my small business. And the numbers I gave you earlier, or where we are on the economic pace, the economy shrinking 4.8% in the first 3 months of this last quarter. They'd already predicted a contraction of 3.7%, so it went above that, and it's only going to get worse if we don't start opening up. In fact, some of the numbers are already cooked in. They will not be changing. It's not going to get any better. Consumer spending plunging 7.6% more than they expected. They expected, oh, you might see a 1.5%. No, spending is down 7.6%. The consumer spending includes everything, restaurants, so forth, and those are closed. Bowling alleys, entertainment centers, movies, nope, all down. Because they've been closed. Grocery stores are still there. But we've had rapid changes in demand and dollars being spent. Businesses switching to either canceling, going to remote work, or just shutting things down. Consumers canceling, restricting, or redirecting their spending. It's hitting goods and services. And it's hitting health care. As many Americans either have canceled or they've been told you have to cancel or delay plans for non-urgent medical procedures. And a lot of them, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't have anything that bad. I'm not going to go in there. I'm afraid I might be exposed to someone. We got meatpacking companies shut down, a large number of them, because the workers had coronavirus. They've got to shut them down and restructure to protect the workers, protect the product coming out. As the Tyson Food Chain editorial posted the other day said, our supply chain is breaking. So in the midst of this, we've got to get America back to work. How and what stages? There's your battleground. But we do know this. We do know this. We know states, blue states, are rushing forward and say, we want money too. We want money to save us because we've taken a hard hit. State of New York asking for what, $4.7 billion for their losses? So we just want the money we've lost because of coronavirus. That would be the taxes for the state of New York, so forth, so on. No, I correction. That is the city. I think it's a city, 4.7. Got so many details here, sometimes I don't get pushed through fast enough. Quentin, what was it you're trying to indicate to me? It was New York City, was it? And it was $7.4 billion. That's where I got turned around. That was the number it was throwing me. Boy, he's good. Thank you, Quentin. $7.4 billion. Mayor Bill de Blasio wants for his city. $7.4 billion. And the states want more. Those blue states are in trouble. They want a bailout. Illinois being one of them. And an Illinois state senator has put out an editorial statement that says, don't waste federal funds on my state's bankrupt systems. He said, welcome to Illinois, America's shrinking state, home to 1,000 public corruption convictions in the last 20 years. He says, we don't want, or you should not be spending any money, yet you've got my governor requesting billions in federal funds. He said, the message from the Illinois elected leaders is crystal clear. No humility, no regret, no acknowledgement of failures, no strings attached. American taxpayers, bail us out. And he's saying, do not let it happen. Federal dollars should not prop up the Illinois failed system. That issue is going to grow because as these states go under more and more pressure, they're going to look for ways to try to turn things around. Steve Cortes is a Trump advisor, is also appearing on many network programs and so forth as an analyst. The Chicago Tribune put out its own editorial saying requesting money for Illinois is shameless. Here's a remark from Steve Cortes.
Shameless really is the watchword here, unfortunately. And the politicians that are ruining this city of Chicago and this state of Illinois, they believe that in this crisis, in this moment of crisis, they found a beard, a way to mask what has been a financial disaster in this state. Included in that $40 billion, Jason, they asked for $10 billion just to bail out our unfunded pension obligations. Now, those existed, of course, well before the virus ever hit anywhere in the United States, including Illinois.
That state court is pointing out the fact that we've had problems and seen them in many of these blue states long before coronavirus. But now they want to say taxpayers bail us out. Here, he said, is a real issue.
Here's the real issue. It's the spending by the state of Illinois, particularly when it comes to employees and pension obligations. Right now in Illinois, according to Open the Books, we have 109,000 public employees or retirees who are making $100,000 plus in this state. And Jason, to give you one particularly egregious example, in Park Forest, Illinois, which is where I grew up, my hometown, it's a blue-collar suburb of Chicago, the just-retired superintendent of elementary schools there, Joyce Carmine, she made $400,000 in her final year. She will make $300,000 for the rest of her life. And this in a community, a blue-collar community, where the average home price is only $75,000.
That kind of money being paid for a retiree? The state signed off on it. The retirees expect it. And Illinois says, we want coronavirus money to help us. Well, Cortes has an additional remark about that. And wait to hear what Chuckie Schumer says about helping the states. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Larry Connors, USA.
Earlier in the program, we ran a phone number you can call if you want to join the program. We had not been running that number because I packed the program so much, I asked Quentin, don't publicize it. We'll never get to them. But when it ran by mistake a moment ago, suddenly the lines lit up. So what I'm going to try to do starting tomorrow, I'm going to start trying to put a little breathing room in so we can get some of your calls in. I have a lot of material, but I'll step aside, obviously, and hear some of your viewpoints, plus or minus, encouraging or attacking me. I don't care in the program. I don't care. Whatever you want. But we'll start trying to do that a little bit better for you. But, of course, a lot of folks have been going to Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and adding comments in writing. All right, so we've got, again, Steve Cortes, White House Trump advisor, financial expert as well, and talking about bailing out Illinois. And, of course, he's not in favor of it, obviously. And he says, what you're listening to when you see Illinois and New York and California start looking at gimme, 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 it's their dream.
I think it's clear that these Democrat-led states, they are banking on, they are hoping for a federal bailout. They believe that if Donald Trump were to lose in November, which is not going to happen, but they believe that if that were to happen, if they could potentially flip the Senate, that the federal government would effectively federalize all of these problems from these profligate blue states. Well, look, none of that is going to happen. What will happen and should happen is what what Leader McConnell said when he articulated that we really do need to change federal laws and federal policies to allow bankruptcy for states like Illinois. That's the only reasonable solution.
That's right. And let them do it. Let them deal with it, just as we saw the country of Greece do it, three decades ago. But here's the issue. If you give it to them, it just disappears. I mean, you ever been outside on a really, really hot day and just pour one puddle, take a little drop of water, drop it on the pavement, see how long it lasts? It's gone. And it would do the same thing here. That's why the Chicago Tribune issued an editorial saying, do not bail out our state, and said it was shameful. And then you got Illinois State Senator Plummer, Now, Plummer is a Republican. His district is on the Illinois side of the Mississippi, Greater St. Louis. Bond, Clinton, Effingham, Fayette, Madison, Marion, St. Clair counties. So he's coming from the Republican side, but he had issued a letter stating Americans broadly support federal relief for business and workers, but they don't want to bail out failed business models and corporate corporations. So we shouldn't do it with Illinois. He said we should not be wasting federal funds on my state's bankrupt system. Illinois should step up and take blame. But they don't. They've got their Illinois governor and all the rest of them in there. Hey, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's what many of these blue states do. They suck the people dry. That's why many are getting out of New York and leaving Illinois and California. Oh, and on the horizon, in the Senate and the House, they say, yeah, let's consider doing that. Let's get money into these states, help them out. And also, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says, listen, when it comes to infrastructure in this next coronavirus bill, it should include green. We want more green. We want more green pie in the sky. Yep, I knew it. They're going to put that back in there. They're going to push it anyway. All right, so coming up, you're going to hear Don Lemon actually try to act like a journalist. You got to hear this. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
Stacey Abrams of Georgia, Democrat, who ran for governor and lost. Some are saying she should be on the ticket with Joe Biden. And she's talking about the allegations of Tara Reid that Joe Biden sexually molested her back in 93. And she'd never say anything about it, except to her mother, another relative, maybe a friend. She didn't know what to do. Her mother later ended up calling into the Larry King Show and saying, I've got a daughter that's had an encounter with someone of power, and she has no option other than go to the press. And she didn't want to because she didn't want to embarrass the senator. We'll get into that more in the next hour and replay the Larry King bite for you. But that has suddenly reignited this story, and rightly so, because Joe Biden is one of these who says, yes, hashtag I'm with women. I'm going to support women. And as he held his town hall virtual thing last night, it was aimed at women. And, of course, never, never, never was a question raised about the sexual allegations from Tara Reid. Tara Reid is now being beaten mercilessly by the left. Oh, they'll talk about supporting women in such a time. And you heard Stacey Abrams say, well, you know, yes, we should hear for the women, but I believe Joe Biden. She just believes Biden. Why? It's word against word, and you're just going to buy it, right? I thought the idea from the left was believe the woman. Not when it comes to a woman who might have something to say that would harm one of the white male liberals. They're doing their best to cover it up. Reid, by the way, has said it's time for the former vice president to release his congressional papers, including all personnel files. They could shed light on that supposed assault. And she says, I think it might show more about what his office did to force me out of my job because I did not submit to what he wanted. She said, and I'm quoting, you ended my career. You ended my job after you assaulted me. You claim to be a champion of women's rights, but your public persona does not match your personal actions. She can't get hold of the papers. They've been donated to the University of Delaware back in 2011, but apparently not likely to become public anytime soon. They feel something there about almost 2,000 boxes, 415 gigabytes of electronic records. And she said, wait, they should release them. I think there'd be some evidence for me. The University of Delaware refusing to do so. And, of course, in the meantime, Tara Reid stands with her story, and the deniers attack her repeatedly. They do. And just because it's Joe Biden, they will accept his word. Stacey Abrams again, talking about that in her belief, the allegations are wrong and Joe's response are solid. Stacey Abrams.
I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe that they need to be listened to. But I also believe that those allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community, has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
Did not happen, just because he said it. Now, two other women who might, or rather one other woman who might also be on the short list for the VP pick, in addition to Abrams, would be Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. So you have to ask, is Abrams taking this position because she's hoping to get on the ticket? And, of course, the Biden campaign denies it. And you hear Stacey Abrams says, well, it needed an investigation, and we've had an investigation. We had an investigation in the New York Times. New York Times doing the investigation? Now, who do you think the New York Times is in bed with on a continuous basis? And there's a story out from BuzzFeed stating that members of the Biden campaign are, quote, seriously behind the scenes coordinating messaging among other Democrats trying to cast the matter as one that's been thoroughly vetted and determined to be unfounded. The talking points reportedly read, Biden believes all women have the right to be heard and have their claims thoroughly reviewed. In this case, a thorough review by the New York Times has led to the truth. This incident did not happen. Well, Stacey Abrams might as well have read that statement directly from the New York Times and the memo inside of it. Because the New York Times is simply publishing, apparently, what they've been given by the Biden campaign. Stacey Abrams also appeared on Don Lemon Fruitcake's program. Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNNN. Now, again, at some point, I'm going to stop saying this, but just for those who are new to the program, when I mention him as Don Lemon Fruitcake, I'm making no reference to Don Lemon's sexual preference. I don't care. I'm calling him a fruitcake because he's nutty. But Don Lemon Fruitcake, of course, had Abrams on, And he brought up a question, and he, believe me, he's trying to act like a journalist. I mean, he's actually trying to act like a journalist. Here's Don Lemon with Stacey Abrams.
So in 2018, you tweeted it was shameful that Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination was being rushed forward and survivors of violence like Christine Blasey Ford deserve to have their voices heard. Are you applying a different standard now?
Not at all. I believe then and I believe now that women deserve to be heard because too often they are not. And Tara Reid deserved to have her story listened to and investigated. What was happening to Christine Blasey Ford was that there was no investigation. There was a rush to move the conversation forward so that no investigation was conducted. And as I said, I believe that there was those allegations needed to be investigated. And I believe that the New York Times and subsequent reports support what the Biden campaign has said. And so, I believe Joe Biden.
So you said you've heard her, you've heard enough, you don't believe her, you believe Joe Biden.
What I'm saying is that the New York Times investigation of her allegations, the New York Times investigation does not support the accusations against the vice president. I believe the Biden I know.
No surprise there. The Times does not support the allegation. Stacey, you want an investigation, yet you want someone like the New York Times, and if they determine that it did not happen, that's good enough for me. So if Fox News had said, we're going to investigate Trump and the Russian collusion, no one needs to do anything, we'll come back and give you the story. We decide no, there's nothing there. Would everyone accept a news organization, quote, investigation? So Stacey Abrams claiming that, no, I believe everyone should be heard. I believe the woman should be heard. And she's basing her final decision on what she is talking about as facts because the New York Times printed it. The New York Times found that there's nothing there, that it's, again, based on the talking points provided the New York Times, it didn't happen. She wants you to believe she's trying to be honest and balanced in her decision-making. Reference to Kavanaugh case and this one. Well, once again, let's go back to that conversation and pick it up with Don Lemon Fruitcake, trying to act like a journalist asking tough questions. Here we go.
Does Joe Biden personally need to address this more directly and publicly?
I believe his campaign has been very clear, and I believe that that is the approach that they intend to take, and I support the approach because, again, we don't want women to ever be afraid to come forward. But we also have to recognize that allegations should be investigated and that those investigations need to be borne out.
Yeah. So we've had no investigation of Tara Reid at this point. New York Times did its, quote, investigation using notes provided by the Biden campaign. See, here we are with these progressive women. We want women to be heard. We want them to have their chance. I mean, they deserve it. And we will support them. And many come out every time and say, I believe the woman. If it's a woman challenging a conservative or Republican, I believe the woman. You know what that means? They don't really believe anybody unless it's a political statement. Of course not. We're going to deal with this in the next hour again, especially reference Hillary Clinton now endorsing Biden. And this story is not going to go away. But the bottom line is the Democrats and progressives say, believe the woman, except in this case. So out of New York comes a story that's disturbing. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a tragedy that's being unveiled out of an elder care facility in Massachusetts. This coronavirus is blamed for at least 80 deaths at this elder care facility. And another 82 veterans and 81 employees have tested positive. This is the Holyoke Soldiers Home. Federal investigators trying to determine whether the residents were denied proper medical care as the deaths continued to climb. It is now that outbreak in that center has claimed nearly one-third of all the residents in the veterans' home. A new death being reported almost daily. They say they've had limited staffing, workers forced to travel routinely to other units trying to help out. Somewhere along the line, obviously, the virus is being transmitted again. Now, most of those veterans, obviously, at an age, it made them susceptible. Age and other issues, health issues. Before the outbreak, a third of the residents were 90 or older, and they needed round-the-clock care. So they were highly vulnerable. The investigation now starts as to how so many died so fast and why. But now they're also thinking maybe the worst is over. The other day in New York City area, in Williamsburg, they had a large funeral gathering. Jews gathering for the funeral of a rabbi. Bill de Blasio took to Twitter to attack it and said, "Zero tolerance." He said, "When I heard about this gathering, I went there myself to ensure the crowd was dispersed. And what I saw will not be tolerated as long as we are fighting the coronavirus." And he added, "My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings has passed. I have instructed the New York Police Department to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups. This is about stopping this disease and saving lives. Period." He said, "We've lost so many in these last 2 months, and I understand the instinct to gather to mourn, but large gatherings will only lead to more deaths, more families in mourning. We will not allow it. I've instructed the NYPD to have one standard for this whole city, zero tolerance." And de Blasio apparently did go to the funeral with city police officers and break up the crowd of hundreds that had turned out for the funeral of the rabbi. And de Blasio's press secretary said the funeral procession was, quote, absolutely unacceptable. We do know, and I think we all agree, gatherings like that could certainly spread the virus, no doubt about it. Numerous folks who have already lost loved ones were not able to have maybe more than 8 to 10 members attending a funeral, if that many. It's a balancing act here. You've got folks of this Jewish community who want to be there to pay the respects. And yet on the other side, we have the bigger picture at issue. I have not seen any references to any Christian funerals or Muslim funerals that have raised the flag of concern of how many are attending at what point. It's a balancing act. I mean, how the folks want to be there to mourn and grieve, and yet we know there have been cases where sometimes maybe even immediate family members were not able to attend a funeral. How long will this kind of thing go on before you can say that if you attend, you have to wear a mask? Maybe that'll help, maybe not. And when it comes to religions, the line gets very, very vague and at the same time concrete. We've already seen how churches that were holding a Sunday service in violation of their local city or state order were being challenged. And the same thing with funerals. Almost the act of faith being challenged, and yet we know for the greater good of Americans, is it a good idea to have so many gather for such an event? Many have already had to deal with that issue. Hopefully we won't have that many more, and I pray that if you have some loved ones that are dealing with the COVID-19, that you don't have to worry about funeral arrangements. And a lot of folks very upset with de Blasio. Coming up the next hour, Hillary Clinton. I'm with Joe. What about Bill and his sexual allegations? And Joe, oh, I'm with Joe. And Dr. Lamera will join us, because he's got a new model on what he expects in the coming election. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.